Good morning. Good morning. So Jesus, we just welcome you in this place today. Father, we just pour out our worship to you and pray that this becomes just a sweet, sweet aroma to you, God. We just lift you up on this beautiful day. I thank you, Father, that we all can come together and worship you freely. Yes, you guys, if you guys would just stand and begin to just pour out your own song to the Lord, your song of thanks. Yes, Jesus, 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 we praise your name, we praise your name, hallelujah.
Thank you, Father, that it is a happy day, Lord, that any day we get to spend with you is a happy day, Lord, in spite of anything that's going on in our life, anything that's going on in our world, anything that is happening at home or at our jobs or on the way to church, Lord, we have the greatest gift, and that is you. And God, I just release right now a spirit of joy in this place. Lord, a spirit of joy in this place, Lord, in areas of people's lives where they can find no joy, in areas of people's lives where there feels like there's only mourning to be had, Lord, that right now you would just spread your joy in this place today, God. I thank you, Father. I thank you, Father, for who you are in our life. I thank you, Father, that we do have something to rejoice about. The simple fact that there's breath in our lungs this morning. We just thank you today. We thank you, Father. We thank you, Father. Will you just begin thanking him with me today, church? Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. We come to you with a thankful heart today, Jesus. Thank you that we're alive. Thank you for our families. Thank you for our spouses. Thank you that we have a roof over our head. Thank you that we have vehicles to drive. Thank you we have food in our bellies. Thank you that we have people that love us. Thank you that we have a Savior that loves us. A Savior that's willing to come and die for us. Not just for our good day, but for our worst day. Especially for our worst day. We thank you, Father. We thank you that you love us. Pour it out, Father. Pour it out. Pour it out all over us right now, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
is how I fight my battles. This is how I fight my battles. Spirit, come rest on. you still call me friend. Cause the God of the mountain is the God of the valley.
What are we going to do with our time? What are we going to do with our resources? What are we going to do with our relationships? And this song, singing, there's nothing better than you. And I find myself sometimes going like, oh, Lord, is that the truth? Do I display that by my character? Do I display that by the way I take my time and use my time? Well, it's a good thing he's full of grace and mercy and love. But it's really true. There should be nothing better than him. There shouldn't be one thing that captivates us or captures us or holds our attention more than God. And the way to live that out is to make everything that we do with him involved in it, to make every action, every word, inviting him into everything that we do. So Lord, there is nothing better than you. We declare that today. We realize that, Lord, and help us to live lives that show that truth, that there's nothing better than you. That when others see us, Lord, they'll be challenged to live a life where you are made preeminent, where you are the number one. Let's do that one more time. Nothing better than you.
Nothing better than you. There's nothing better than you. There's nothing. Nothing is better than you.
Oh, there's nothing better.
Oh, there's nothing better than you. There's nothing.
Lord, that you're worth making a priority in our life. And help us do that today and every day following. In Jesus' name. Amen. We'll take a few minutes and greet each other. God bless you. Have a blessed day.
Check, check, check. Good morning, church. Good morning. Why is Herman over there stealing all the cookies? If you guys don't know, Lexi Villalobos made a bunch of cookies over there, and she wants us. Yeah, give it up for Lexi. She likes the attention. But she's starting a business, and she bakes most Monday nights for youth, which is, I'm like, why can't I lose weight? Well, it's because every Monday night I come and I have three cookies or brownies or something. But anyways, it's amazing. And so she has cookies over there. And if you would be so kind to not only have one or two or three, but vote on what's the best one. Because is there a purpose why you want, because you want to know which ones are the best? Is that why? Awesome. They're all good. But I did vote because one of them had coffee in it, or tastes like coffee at least. And so that was my vote. So if you could do that for her, that would be great. We're going to pray for our city. So if you guys would stand with me, I know you just got seated, but we're going to make declarations over our city because we love the Yakima Valley. Amen. Amen. So on the count of three, we're going to say this together. We're going to put our heart into it. We're going to declare over our city. One, two, three. Thank you, Lord, for what you are doing in the Yakima Valley right now. And today we declare that my city will be saved, that revival will sweep the streets of the Yakima Valley, that every business, big or small, will thrive, that the families in my city will have all of their needs met. I declare that every politician in our city and state would have the wisdom of heaven, that you would use me in doing all of these things. And I declare that your will be done in Yakima as it is in heaven. Amen. Come on, give him a shout of praise today for our city. Thank you, Jesus. I don't know if you guys know this, but our city and our state especially needs us to be praying for them. Let me just drop a little bit of facts on you. Your frustration and anger, if you're frustrated about something that our city or our state is doing, the animosity inside of you will do nothing, but prayer will do everything. Right? I'm not saying you can't be frustrated, right? How many of you guys know there's frustrating things that our government does all the time, right? Especially our state. However, the only way I believe, and I know this because I read my Bible, and in my Bible I see God changing nations. The only way that these things are going to change is if the saints pray. is if we lift up, our governor, we lift up the mayor of our city, we lift up our city officials. And you may not like them. I'm not saying you have to like them, but what I'm saying is you have to pray for them, because our Bible says is that all leaders are appointed by God, right? So you may not agree with whoever's sitting in what seat, but we need to be praying. This is why we're doing these declarations, is because there's power in when we declare over our land. Amen. This is the spot. Maybe it may not be forever that we're here, but this is where God has us right now. And so while we're here, we need to make sure that we're stewarding well what God has given us. And right now he's given us the Yakima Valley. Amen. Amen. Awesome. Next one is the men's barbecue. So as you may or may not have figured it out, our service time is 10:30. Now, on the website, on the sign, it's always said 10:30, but in our hearts, it was 10:45. So although we wanted to start at 10:30, it kind of got further and further away. And so we talked to the staff and we said, hey, we want to start at 10:30. And so just so you're aware, starting today, from here on out till eternity, we will be starting at 10:30 on the dot. That is when we'll be opening. That is when I'll be up there on stage. And so if you want to come and fellowship like you were prior, it'll happen before that. And then prayer as well. We do prayer every Sunday, now starting at 9:45. Downstairs, we have a prayer room. I don't know if you guys know this. We have a prayer room that we've specifically set up so we can pray. So we can pray for our service, so we can pray for our city. So and it's powerful time. So everybody's welcome to join us there. Next is men's barbecue. So that is a lie. The host home is not needed because I think we're settled on what we're doing, right? So but July 15th, put this in your calendars. I think we met at 6 o'clock last time, so it'll probably be about that. All men are invited to this, and not only all men, but men, invite your friends, invite your coworkers, and this is a great time of fellowship. This is a great time of getting to connect with one another and encourage one another and eat a lot of meat. And that is what's better than that, right? Jesus hanging out with guys and eating meat. Amen. And then last, thank you for giving. Thank you for sowing into our church. You can give online at onelifefamilyworship.com, or we have the offering box here and an offering box in the back. And just, I think it goes without saying, but I'll say it anyways. Thank you for sowing into our house and what God's doing in our city through this house. Although we may be small, I believe that our church is making a big impact in our city. Amen. All right. Is that all? Did I get it all? All right. Mike and Gaylene, get up here, share the word. How many of you guys love our pastors? Nobody. Awesome. I love you.
Thank you.
I love you. Absolutely nobody. How many of you guys love our pastors? Come on.
What's not to love, right? All right. So I don't know if you guys remember, but this was a message from like a month and a half ago, maybe 2 months now. And we had an awesome service, and so we made it so that you guys could go home in a decent time, and we didn't try to cover this then. And so since then, you've had different people sharing, Eric sharing, Gay sharing. We were going to do this 2 weeks ago, and Gay came up to me and said, I have something. And that was an amazing message. You guys remember that message?
Yes.
Okay, you remember the title of it? Write it down. You remember the title?
Yeah.
Write it down. You do. Okay. I thought you were telling me to write the message down, but he remembers it. Yeah. Eric's like a photographic memory, I guess, right? You hardly ever have to write anything down. I write stuff down all the time.
You're squirreling.
I know I'm squirreling. Blueprint for life. Let's go ahead and read a verse, and then I want to share a couple of things. This is 1 Chronicles 28:11-19. No, we're just going to read this first one first. This first. Okay, you want me to read it? I will. Hang on a second here. Make it so I can see it. 1 Chronicles 28:11-19. I don't think, do we read? We don't do 11 through 19, do we here? I don't think so. I think I've got too many verses. Anyway, verse 11. Then David gave Solomon the plans for the temple and its surroundings, including the entry room, the storerooms, the upper stairs, the inner rooms, and the inner sanctuary, which was the place of atonement. David also gave Solomon all the plans he had in mind for the courtyards of the Lord's temple. the outside rooms, the treasuries, and the rooms for the gifts dedicated to the Lord. All right. Hang on here a second. And then verse 18, that's why it says that. Should have had a comma there. He designated the amount of refined gold for the altar of incense. Finally, he gave him a plan for the Lord's chariot, the gold cherubim, whose wings were stretched out over the ark of the Lord's covenant. And this is what jumped out at me a couple months ago, but it still touches my heart. Every part of this plan, David told Solomon, was given to me in writing from the hand of the Lord. That's powerful, isn't it?
Write it down.
It goes along with it, doesn't it? But every part of this plan, David told Solomon, was given to me in the writing from the hand of the Lord. And so when I read that, it made me really think about our lives. And do we realize that we have a plan for living life? And that's why I came up with this blueprint for life. And what does that mean? Blueprint for life. What is the blueprint for life? Some people say their Bible is their blueprint for life. And I'll tell you, there's a lot of really good things in the Bible that are blueprints for life. Mm-hmm. There's other things that are talking about, you know, that are issues that don't really pertain to us. But a good majority of the Bible is a blueprint for life. But I want to call attention to this idea of blueprint for a minute. How many have ever had a blueprint in their hands and looked at it and had to actually build something with the blueprint? You know, let's go a lot easier. How many of you guys have had like a bike that you have to put together before Christmas or some toy in about 100 pieces, right? Yeah. The manual, guys, is what we're supposed to use, right? How many have I don't need that, throw it aside, put everything together, put it, oh, it looks great, you know, and then you realize, what is this for? Your wife's going, I think you probably should have read the manual. Nah, I don't need the manual. And, you know, you think you've got it figured out. And unfortunately, a lot of us live our Christian lives like that. We just say, you know what, I don't need this. I don't need that either. Yeah. Is that yours?
No, it's yours.
That's mine. Okay. I don't need this, the Bible. I don't need to spend time with God. I've go to church on Sundays. I hear the messages, you know, or I listen to, you know, this sermon on the radio, or I don't need prayer. I don't need to worship in my spare time. I worship at church. All of these are part of a blueprint for life. You know, we're called to be worshipers. And not just lifting our hands, but the way that we live. Mm-hmm. That our life's supposed to be an offering poured out to God. It says in Romans 12, verse 1, that I urge you, brothers and sisters, and I would say that today, I urge you, brothers and sisters, by the mercies of God, by the grace of God, that you would offer your bodies, your lives, as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your absolute pleasing service of worship to God. He loves it when we worship him, but he also loves it when we live for him. And that's part of the blueprint for life. Living a life for God is part of your blueprint for life. Mm-hmm. Let's go and look at another verse here that kind of talks about the same thing that that David ran into, but this is Moses. You want me to read it again? Okay. Exodus 28, 8 through 9. And let them make me a sanctuary that I may dwell in their midst, exactly as I show you concerning the pattern of the tabernacle and all of its furniture, so that you shall make it. And then the New Living Translation says it this way. Be sure that you make everything according to the pattern I have shown you here on the mountain. So there's a pattern for our lives. There's a way for us to live. Now, not everybody here has the same exact pattern. I've said that many times. I mean, none of us are meant to live the exact same type of relationship with God, but we're all meant to have a life that God has preordained for us. It says that we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works that God preordained beforehand that we should walk in them. We are his workmanship, and he has a way for us to walk. And I would venture to say that a lot of us at times aren't walking in that way, including myself. And why is that? You know? She doesn't know today. I believe it's because we take for granted our Christianity. I believe that we think that because we've been saved so long, or because we've gone to church for so long, or because we've known the Lord so long, or whatever, like we take for granted a lot of other things, we take for granted our Christian walk and don't realize that it takes effort, it takes work, it takes a purposeful, passionate plan to follow God. That's what we were saying about, what was it, passionately, purposefully pursuing God was kind of our whole mode of operandi in January. But it wasn't just for January. It wasn't just for the February, or it's not just for an all-night prayer night. Right. It should be our life. As a matter of fact, it's going to be up there soon. We're going to have it as, I guess you could say, for lack of a better term, a mode of operandi, a way that we are going to move forward in the Lord as a church. Passionately, purposely, right, pursuing God, exactly. Amen. So I used to design irrigation systems. Herman knows this. Miriam knows this. They have some of my irrigation work. Maybe it's still there. What? Oh, I don't know. It's probably somewhere else. Did you guys really have a tough time? Yeah.
And you guys have seen his name on some of the designs and stuff, right? Yeah.
Yeah. So I wanted to bring this up because this is one thing I could remember right off the bat. I would do an irrigation design for somebody, and they would be people who were irrigators and did stuff for years, you know, and they had their own system, and I would come in and I'd put in a system. And I would send them all these parts, and I'd send them a diagram, a blueprint, basically, of how everything's supposed to go in. And every now and then, I would go to a farm to inspect after they're done, see how things are running. And yeah, they're complaining. They're saying, I'm having some weird things happen. You know, I'm going, okay, well, let me see, you know, that sprinklers aren't really all even, or there's like, you know, so there's different things would happen depending upon what they did. But a lot of times what would end up happening, and I don't know why they would leave it out, but they'd leave a little small little part out, which was called an air vent. And I put them at certain places. And I put them at certain places specifically because I knew that there was either going to be an issue that air would collect. And would, when air collects in a pipe and the pipe doesn't release the air, guess what it does? It stops the water. So it's like you're closing a valve. Or it could cause water hammer that would blow out their pipes. So my pipes blew out. I said, oh, what's going on? I get there, well, you forgot to put in the air vent. Oh, I didn't think I needed that. Right? No, you need it. And it's just a little, it's not that big of a part. It didn't seem like it's that much. What part are we leaving out of our life that is the key to staying on the right path, or to remaining even in God?
Wow.
Because we don't think we need it. Maybe I don't need to read my Bible because I do this. Or maybe I don't need to go to a Wednesday night meeting because I'm coming on Sundays. Or maybe I don't need to go to youth because I'm coming on Sundays. Or
maybe I don't need to do prayer.
Maybe I don't need to do prayer. Whatever it is, I'm just as guilty as you. There's things that we think it's just too small. I don't need to worry about it. But maybe it's a key. And God has given us a blueprint for life.
Right.
Do you have something?
Oh, I'm thinking.
You're thinking, okay. Let's look at another verse here. This is Ephesians 5, 15 through 17. It says, look carefully then how you walk, not as unwise, but wise. I mean, you think about those words right there. Looking carefully how you're walking. Do we do that? Do we examine our steps to see if they're in the right way enough? Maybe there's times that, oh, I'm having a tough time. We come to the altar, or, you know, we come to Jesus moment. But this is something we need to do consistently. We need to keep this going on in our lives, not just on, you know, an encounter day or on a special event day. This is something we need to constantly be doing, looking carefully then how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise, making the best use of the time because the days are evil. I mean, is that not ever true? I mean, the days just appear to continually be getting more and more evil all the time. Mm-hmm. That there's more and more things that are turning bad instead of good. Mm-hmm. Now, we like to think that the Lord's glory is going to cover the earth as the waters cover the seas. But it looks contrary to that sometimes, right? To me, it does. I mean, I would like to believe that Yakima is being transformed as we are praying every single week. Mm-hmm. But there's also another work out there that's trying to drag, steal, kill, and destroy every single life that's here.
Yeah.
And it may not be just our declaration on Sunday that transforms the city. There may be another small part that we're missing. It may be personal devotion that we need to pray. It may mean that we need to talk to our neighbors about Christ. It may mean that we need to, you know, mow somebody's lawn. I mean, an act of love. There may be some small parts that the body of Christ is missing here. Maybe something big, but it could be something small. That's in the Word, that's part of His plan, but we ignore it because we're smarter than God. I don't think anybody would say that, but sometimes that's the way we live.
We act that way.
Yep. Making the best use of the time because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish. I don't know if you guys ever read the book of Proverbs, but the fool does not have a good time in that book. He is like really, really lambasted a lot. He's really ridiculed. He's really told these things that are going to happen to him because of his foolishness. Mm-hmm. Boy, let's not be foolish Christians. Let's not be like the five virgins that said, oh, you know what? There's plenty of oil. Because we're going to use yours if we run out. Mm-hmm. You know? Mm-hmm. There's plenty of God to go around. If my faith's a little weak, I'll go to my brother when I really need it, or my sister when I really need it, and they'll fortify me in God. Well, they may not be there, or they may be fortifying themselves in God and they're not available. We need to have our own oil. We need to have our own reservoir. We need to have our own abundance of life. And He's given us abundant life. That's the crazy thing. The fact that we need to preach this on Sunday says that there's a lot more going on in the body of Christ than what we think. What's that saying? We need to make the main thing the main thing. Mm-hmm. Is that it? I think in some ways we've missed what the main thing is. And that is a personal, devoted relationship with God, where we're intimate with Him and He speaks to us. He communicates to our heart. He causes us to live.
Mm-hmm.
We don't try to muster up something to live for God. Our relationship causes us to live. And it's a life that is vibrant and alive and full mm-hmm. and fulfilled.
Well, I'm getting a picture in my mind of a puzzle that's been put together, and how each piece is a little different. But when they're all fit together, it makes one beautiful picture. And in this picture that I'm getting, as I zoom in, it's little tiny blueprints. A blueprint for Eric's piece, and a blueprint for my piece, and a blueprint for yours. And as they're fit together, they make this one unified, beautiful picture. But if there's pieces missing, if we're not doing what we're supposed to do, my piece doesn't get fit in there right, or
That's
doesn't
good.
Fit at all. And so we have to be very careful that we are stewardship of ourselves, because God's given us a life, and how are we stewarding that life? Stewardship means owning it and taking possession of it and using it the proper way, the way it was supposed to be. A lot of time for stewardship, we use like stewardship of your time, or stewardship of your finances, or stewardship of even your worship. And if you're not doing what you're supposed to do in your little blueprint piece, then the picture isn't whole. We were over helping Mom a couple weeks ago, and I ran across a puzzle that she had put together, and then threw back in the box. And on the back, she wrote, five missing pieces. And I'm like, five missing pieces? Why are we keeping this puzzle? Can you imagine how frustrating it would be to the Lord if, as this puzzle is put together of the world, of us, and there's five missing pieces? It's like it's not a whole picture. So we have to have good stewardship of our piece to make it fit in there just right. And in order to do that, we have to ask the Lord. We have to self-examine ourselves and be honest with it. Like, just like I said a few weeks ago, I have just had a gnarly, gnarly mind frame lately. Just gnarly. And it's like the Lord is like, okay, I need you to take stewardship of that. You need to repent. I did. You need to ask me to help you. Apparently you can't do it by yourself. You can't be a good person on your own. And let me help you. And so that's taken some real hard self-examine time for me. And it's not been a pretty time. It's been like, ugh, I have to look at myself. And I have to see how I'm really doing this. But if we're going to be one another's safe place and one another's pieces that are going to be fit together with the other, we have to have that self-examination, and we have to look at the blueprint of our piece or our little piece of puzzle so that we all fit together jointly, is what it says. That means clicking together. That means making something bigger than yourself. Do you care? Ask Jesus, help me to care. Do you have a gnarly attitude? Ask Jesus to help you with the gnarly. Are you just doing this by rote because you know it's what you have to do? Ask him to give you a desire in your heart to want to do it out of love and compassion and hope and peace and joy. All of those things he will give if you just ask for it.
That's really good. Yeah, when you were talking about the puzzle pieces, it reminded me again of something small that may be very important.
Yeah.
And, you know, there may be 500 pieces in that puzzle, but what if those five pieces made up part of that picture that communicated what the artist was trying to say, and they're missing?
Right.
I mean, is there things in our life that are missing that the artist, God, can't communicate through us? Ooh. That we don't speak what he wants to tell of our lives? If we're his workmanship, if there's pieces missing, do we display who we are and who he made us to be, or do we display something else?
That's so good.
Yeah. Well, the thing is that this is not a message to make you condemned. This is not a message to make you go and just hang your head and say, oh, I'm no good. This is a message to remind you that God has called you for a higher time in this time, for a higher purpose.
With a loving calling.
But he also challenges us. You know, like you were saying, examine yourself. There's a scripture, I believe it's one of Peter's. He says, examine yourself. It's Paul. Examine yourself to see if you're in the faith. Mm. Examine yourself to see if you're staying in the faith. That's part of, again, looking carefully. How am I walking? Mm-hmm. And it's easy just to go through life, guys. It's easy to go through relationships, marriages, and you just take each other for granted. You know, it's happened before in our life. And the thing is that we need to look carefully how we're walking and what we're doing, especially in our relationship with God, because it's what holds other things together.
Right.
Yes.
So this morning, as I was reading this again, because this is like the third time he sent it to me, because this is the third time we've tried, third time's a charm. It says 1 Chronicles 28:11-19, and he only used 11:12 and 18:19. Well, me being the good, dutiful wife that I am, I read 11-19, the whole thing. And in this is the actual blueprint that David is giving to Solomon about how the temple is to be built, down to the minuscule
detail.
Detail.
That's why I didn't read it.
Small pieces of how much gold for this thing, mm-hmm. how much silver for this thing, how tall one floor is, and another floor, and another floor, and how everything is supposed to be exactly to the inch, and there's a reason for why. And I'm thinking to myself, if the Lord took that much time to detail a building, how much more time would he take to detail you and me? And so as I was reading this, I then went to this scripture. Let me find it. Hold on. My Bible's right here, this one. And it's 1 Peter 2, and it's verse 9. It says, "But you are not like that, for you are a chosen people. You are royal priests." Now, this was a royal temple.
Mm-hmm.
"But you are royal priest, a holy nation, God's very own possession." If God took that much time and detail about inches and feet and ounces and weights, how much more is he going to say, "I made you this way for a purpose, for a plan, and it's not for what you think it is, but it's for my purpose and my plan. You are royal."
Yeah. Amen.
You're royal. Whether you believe it or not, you are royal. Whether you're living it or not, you are royal. And so this is what he says. If you can't live it, let me help you. I can help you. I am the one that made you. It's the same story about the guy that his vehicle stopped working on the side of the road. Now, men, you can appreciate this coming story because most of you, minus Eric, can look under hood and be able to tell kind of sort of what's supposed to happen. Don't ask Eric. He will not be able to tell you the answer to your problems if your vehicle breaks down. But anybody else normally, guy would. So here this car breaks down on the side of the road, and up behind pulls this car, and this very old man gets out. And he goes up and he says, "Hey, bud, are you having a problem?" And he goes, "Yeah, my car just quit working." He goes, "Well, would you like me to take a look at it?" And he's like, the guy's scoffing because like this guy barely could walk up to the car, let alone look underneath. And he's like, "What are you going to be able to do?" And he said, "Well, my name is Henry Ford and I made this car." God is your Henry Ford, people. Yeah. He made you. He knows what's underneath your hood. He doesn't even really have to look. But in order to capture your attention, he will look. He'll look at you and he'll see those of you that would rather not be here. He will look and see those of you that are looking at your watch and saying, "Well, it's 11:40 and they're almost done. Let's just hope so because
thank you, Jesus.
Lunch is coming." Like, God knows you. He's looked under your hood. In fact, he made your hood. And he made your caboose, and he made the doors, and he made the way. He knows everything there is to know about you. And if he made you royal, don't you think he can help you be royal?
Come on.
If he made you called and equip you and love you with a plan and a purpose, this blueprint, then don't you think he can help you do this? He can help you. Sometimes we have to ask, and sometimes we have not because we ask not.
Right on.
Come on, people. Let's start asking. Let's ask the Lord. Lord, you know what? I have not been doing so good. I'm like, I'm 60-something, and I've been trying to do this on my own. So now let me ask, can you just help me? Can you cut a girl a break and just help me? Because I've not been doing it right so far. And you know what? He is just waiting for you to say that to him. He's just waiting because he does want to help you. It's so exciting because as I sit here, being a person that's prophetic, I am very prophetic. I believe that. I am a seer some mm-hmm. most times. I can point out in this room right now, if the Lord wanted me to, and I could tell you who God has a purpose and a plan for. not just purpose and a plan, because that I would point to everybody, but I can tell who has an anointing on their lives for a particular gifting. I could point you out because that's God's so good. I know. And I'm thinking to myself, don't live below your inheritance in Christ. Stop doing that. There is a plan and a purpose for you.
Amen.
Do not settle. Don't settle.
That's so good.
You're a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, holy, a holy nation, all of you, holy. That's powerful.
And then what does the next part say?
As a result, you can show others the goodness of God, for he mm-hmm. called you out of the darkness into his wonderful light.
Yeah.
Light.
Light.
Yeah.
So we've been called out of darkness.
Yeah.
Which, what is darkness as well as just dark? It's a lack of truth. He's called us out of a lack of truth. He's called us into his light of truth. He's called us into the light of his presence. But do we respond? That's the key. We have to respond. We have to say, yes, Lord, I'm responding. Or like you said, help me, Lord, to respond. Got one more verse here, and then we'll pray. Because I think this requires a prayer. Maybe even a declaration. Oh, boy, what about a declaration today? Just kidding. Romans 12:2. This is the NIV because I like what how the NIV caught the pattern part of this. Do not conform to the pattern of this world. What pattern did David get? He got the pattern for the temple that Solomon was going to build. The most glorious temple that there's probably ever been since. And hasn't happened again because when they rebuilt it, it wasn't built at Solomon's temple. But there's a pattern that the world tries to show us. You guys know this, don't you? I mean, just turn on the TV. Watch the ad. If you don't have, you know, YouTube without ads, I highly recommend it. if you watch YouTube with ads or some other, you know, platform with ads, you're seeing patterns of the world all the time. You're seeing this is how you need to live. But let's not conform. Let's not formulate the way that we will live by the pattern of the world. Let's formulate. In other words, let's put together by a godly reasoning, not a natural reasoning, how we're to live. And it says, of the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. This is the key right here. You guys like keys? They're nice. You can start your car. You can open your door, your house. Some keys do other things, you know, unlock your safety deposit box, you know. Keys are important. And I'm telling you, this particular part about the renewing of your mind is a key. If you guys could take this to heart, that your mind is something that needs to be renewed. It's not, you're not born again with the perfect mind. We have the mind of Christ somewhere in there. I mean, how many times have you guys done something as Christian? Like, I can't believe I just did that. Where did that come from? Came from the original you. And the mind of Christ wasn't active. And so how do we get the mind of Christ active? We renew it. How do we renew it? Well, one thing is we need to purge bad data. Mm-hmm. We need to purge bad data. I mean, some of you may need to actually go to the Lord and say, Lord, I want you to purge things that keep coming up. Mm-hmm. I want you to hit the delete button. And then not just go in the trash can so I can go back and recover it. No, I want you to get it in the trash can and then do the final delete where I can't access it anymore. Mm-hmm. Someone's saying, that's kind of crazy. It's a prayer for God. Yes. God honors our hunger for him. And if our hunger is extending to the place where we want him to change us, he will. He will. It takes time. It doesn't happen overnight. I mean, I remember when we were coming back and forth praying here in the front on Sunday mornings. And for the longest time, I mean, I was radical. I was praying, Lord, I want you to reveal the truth to me, the whole truth, the nothing but the truth. So help me, you know, basically that type of prayer. But I want all lies removed. I don't want anything that's preconceived that I've already understood and thought that's correct. If it's wrong, I want you to change it. That's a dangerous prayer. And he'll do it. If you truly mean it,
You don't just pray it because Pastor Mike told you to pray. It has to come from your heart. Mm-hmm. I mean, this isn't something I think that everybody's just going to go and respond today. Yes, we're all going to start following the pattern of God for our lives. We're going to start renewing our minds. But let it be a seed. Let Pastor Eric's message last week be a seed, and Gay's message about writing it down. All of these are just meant to be seeds or water or sometimes a harvest. Sometimes on a Sunday morning, someone gets it and they're going to start harvesting the fruit from what the Lord's been doing in them and what they've been allowing to happen in them.
And a footnote.
A footnote.
If there's weeds that grow up in with the harvest, Scripture says, just leave them alone. It'll all come out with the harvest, and God will be able to decipher what's good and what's bad. Don't go through picking your weeds and spending your time pulling out your weeds, because that is just mindless dribble.
Well, yeah, and the Bible says if you focus on the flesh, you'll fulfill the flesh.
Exactly.
Focus on the Spirit. Focus on, I have the mind of Christ. Focus on, I am transformed. My mind is being renewed day by day. And that, you know, sometimes it just takes a little step at a time to get to the end. So transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. Now, to me, that's the pattern. Mm-hmm. His good, pleasing, and perfect will. So how do we test? How do we know? How are we able to understand what the will of God is? By renewing our mind. That's why I say it's a key. If we don't renew our mind, then we really don't know. I mean, someone can tell you, this is the right way. You walk in this and you'll be successful. And you're like, okay. And you just go and you try to do that, but it's not inspired by the Holy Spirit.
Right.
There has to be an inspiration of God in what we do. That's why I'm not one to sit here and tell you, you know, we've had things before. We've had all-night prayer. We've had Saturday night prayer. We've had times where we read through the Bible. But I'm not going to tell you to do it. I'm not going to come and, you know, stand at your bed on Monday morning and say, okay, get up. It's time to start that 90-day Bible challenge. I'm not going to do that. Because that's the Holy Spirit's job. That's the relationship that you're supposed to have with God. But God does have a blueprint for your life. He has a plan. He has a pattern. He has a way for you to walk. Mm-hmm. And it is in his will. And if you renew your mind, if you come to grips and come with terms that you need to have your mind renewed, let's just go right there. If you don't think you need to have your mind renewed, then you're hearing blah, 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 blah. Just like Charlie Brown. I'm the adult speaking to you. Blah, 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 blah. But if you know that, yes, what Pastor Mike is saying, what the Holy Spirit is communicating through Pastor Mike, then I need to come to God and say, Lord, I'm a vessel. And I'm a vessel that needs your help. I'm in a vessel that needs you to help me develop a renewing of my mind process. How do I renew my mind, Lord? How do I renew my mind? Not what Pastor Mike says, not what Pastor Gay says, but how, Lord, is my best way to renew my mind? And he may tell you, what I want you to do is just go and sit in a quiet place and be quiet. Not say a word. But that's going to renew my mind? Trust me. It'll renew your mind. I'm not telling you to do that. That's not what Pastor Mike is saying. I'm saying that the Lord may have that for you. Or he may say, son, daughter, you know when you get into the car and when you're headed to work and you have a 30-minute drive to work, mm-hmm. and the first thing you do is turn on the radio and start listening to music, you know, whatever it is. Doesn't matter if it's even Christian music. Don't turn on your radio. Let's just have a quiet time driving to work and I'll renew your mind. That may be how he starts right now. It won't be for the rest of your life because, you know what? Renewing your mind is a process. But he may need to just get you still enough to where he can start.
Right.
But you have to talk to him. You have to communicate to him. You can't come to Pastor Mike. Pastor Mike, how do I renew my mind? Well, I can give you some ideas. But what if those aren't the things that you need right now? What if they're good, but it's not what you need right now? You need this, what happened to David. You need this. This was the key. This is why I wanted to say this message right here. You need every part of his plan for your life from him. And it needs to be given to you from him, from the hand of the Lord, not from Pastor Mike, not from some, you know, advisor that David had, not from amazing architects. He probably had amazing architects. He had his own house. He had things that were built in honor of him. But he didn't get the plans for the temple from any of them. He got it from the hand of the Lord. Mm-hmm. And that's what we all need. We all need God's direction from God alone and no one else. Amen?
I get a sense that there might be questions. Is there any questions? Anybody? I'll bring the mic to you if you want me to. Any questions?
No? Any answers? Does anybody say, Pastor Mike, I have all the answers? Nobody's going to do that.
No comments. No nothing.
Okay. Well, let's pray.
Huh? Oh.
Let's pray. I like to, at times, put my hand on my heart. And what it's reminding me, it's not a pledge of allegiance, but it's reminding me where God abides. Reminds me that he's not 5 trillion, 20 trillion, whatever you want to call it, light years away at the edge of our universe. He's somewhere else. He's in my heart. He's never leaves me. He's as close as the very breath that I breathe. So just do me a favor. Put your hand, either hand, on your heart. Oh, Moses has something. Moses has something. Come on, Moses. Did you know it? You just were.
I just knew
somebody. Oh, yeah, okay.
Amen. You know, speaking of patterns and blueprints, my heart was heavy, you know, this week. Speaking with three couples, knowing of three couples that on the verge of separating and separated, and they're trying all these different things, you know, but they know the Word of God, you know. And it's very heavy on my heart, you know, because we know the blueprint for our lives. And just like when we gave the description, we have the instructions, but as men, sometimes we don't need this piece. We don't need that piece, you know. And this piece, it worked. See, and you have a whole box of extra bolts and parts.
Right.
And stuff. But we know, like Pastor Mike was saying, through the Holy Spirit, let the Holy Spirit guide you. He's our comforter. He's our friend. You know, and listen to his voice when it comes to that point, you know. And I see these couples with despair and scrambling what to do. And I just told them, have faith in the Lord, you know. We know. They know. But it took me back to that blueprint when I saw the message. I'm like, yeah, we have the blueprint. You and I do. Share the gospel, you know. Let the Holy Spirit stir you up, you know. But most of all, listen to the Holy Spirit when he speaks to you, because he gives you the answer.
He does.
He knows when to give you that assurance, that hug, that, hey, you're all right. Jesus loves you. I still love you. You know, I just wanted to share that, you know, because the blueprint for our lives is the Holy Spirit. You know, it's in our hearts. And we don't need to be Bible thumping you over the head. You know, that's sin, that's sin, that's sin, that's sin. The conviction of the Holy Spirit, when we have a relationship with him, convicts our hearts. It's our part to humble ourselves. And I've been there many times. I'm hard-headed sometimes, you know. But I've been humbled too, you know, and spend time with the one who loves you. And that's our Lord and Savior. That's all I had to share.
Amen. That's good.
Spend time with the one that loves you. That's beautiful.
Yeah. So as I was saying, and after Moses shared there, just put your hand on your heart I'm going to say a prayer. You don't have to repeat the prayer, but if you have your hand on your heart, I'm going to believe that you are agreeing with this prayer. Father, come to you right now. I know that you have the very best for me. I know that I am not alone. I know that you're always with me. So right now, I just invite you, Lord, to speak to my life, to change me, to transform me, to renew my mind. I ask you, Holy Spirit, to give me instructions from the hand of the Lord how to fulfill the pattern that you've called me to, how to renew my mind, how to live this life of faith that you've called me to. Lord, you haven't called me to fail. You've called me to succeed. You have called me more than a conqueror in Christ Jesus. So, Lord, I rebuke the lies of the enemy that says that I'm not going to make it. I rebuke the lies of the enemy that says I'm not good enough. I rebuke the lies of the enemy that says there's no way. Yes, there is a way. You are the way, Lord Jesus. You are the truth, and you are the life. And you live in me. You abide in me. Your dwelling place is in me. And so I give you permission. I give you honor. I give you everything that you need in my life to fulfill your pattern in me. In Jesus' name, amen.
Lord, that we would know the blueprint of our lives. Not the blueprint of Pastor Mike's life, not a blueprint of the person next to us, but the blueprint of what you have for us. And that we would walk that out. We thank you, God, that there's not one person in this room that was just here by accident. We're not just a result of a passionate night between two people. You had a plan and a purpose for each and every one of us. I just declare today that as we walk out of this place, we would begin a journey of figuring out the blueprint between you and us today, Jesus. Yeah. We thank you, Father. We thank you, Father, for this. And everybody said, amen.